And let's take a deeper look now at the Republican plan to cut taxes. It's an ambitious proposal that will cost $1.5 trillion over the next decade. It'll slash the corporate tax rate, eliminate the estate tax for wealthy families, reduce the number of tax brackets from 7 to 4, and limit a popular deduction for homeowners. Lawmakers are betting the changes will jumpstart economic growth and new jobs, but there are big questions about that. Joining us now on Skype is George Yin, professor of law and taxation at the University of Virginia. He's also the former chief of staff for the U.S. Congress Joint Committee on Taxation, and he served on the majority Republican staff in the Senate Finance Committee during the last major rewrite of the tax code. That was back in the 80s. Professor Yin, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
First of all, how does this compare with what Republicans did back in the 80s?
It's in some respects, the bill does resemble the 1980s effort. I would say one of the big differences is the process they're going through. The 80s was much more transparent compared with the process that they're using right now.
And what does that tell you?
Well, I think it's partly a change of the era. So 30 years ago, it was conceivable that there were more moderate members of Congress who were willing to reach compromises and so forth. In today's world, it seems like there's much more polarization. And so the majority party just feels like they can act without serious discussion on the part of the full Congress.
Well, one of the knocks on this plan already is that it is really a tax cut for the wealthy and not for the middle class. What's your take on that?
Well, I actually was very surprised when I looked at the bill, considering it's been described as a massive tax cut for the middle class and considering that it is estimated to cost $1.5 trillion over 10 years, I was surprised how little of the tax savings actually ends up going to the middle class. In fact, by my calculations, there's an important segment of middle-class taxpayers, single people with income between $45,000 and $90,000, and joint filers with income between $90,000 and $150,000, people that are squarely in the middle class or maybe the upper middle class. Some important number of them, I think, are vulnerable not only to not getting a tax cut, but actually are going to experience a tax increase from this bill. Essentially, the people most vulnerable will be people who have either no children in their home or their children are grown, and they live in a relatively high tax state. For those numbers of people, and there's a lot of people that would qualify for, those terms, I think it's quite likely they will be experiencing a tax increase rather than any tax cut at all.
Let's talk about the corporate tax cut. The rate would drop for corporations from 35 to 20% on the promise that that is going to make the U.S. much more competitive globally. Is that your view of what that will do?
Well, I think the studies are mixed on that. Some people certainly make the argument that a lower tax rate will bring more capital into the United States and therefore increase labor productivity and essentially, raise all boats. Other studies are much less optimistic about that. A lot depends on factors that we can't control. For example, if we drop our corporate tax rate, and every other country in the world doesn't make any change, well, that would be one set of circumstances. But as we discovered back in 1986, when we did drop the corporate tax rate very significantly, in fact, more significantly than what is proposed here, every other country basically followed suit and, in fact, in many cases, even drop their rate even further below ours. And so the effect of whatever we hope to accomplish from that was very much muted by the response of the rest of the world. And we of course, have no way of predicting what the rest of the world will do, and we have no control over what they will do.
One of the deductions that's gotten a lot of attention is the mortgage interest deduction, and they're proposing in this plan a change to it so that it would be eliminated for loans over $500,000 as opposed to $1 million. What do you think the effect of that will be? The housing industry is very upset about it.
Yeah, well, that's clearly going to have an effect on the housing industry. You know, I think that there certainly are arguments that current law has been too favorable to housing in general. That said, we have had those laws, and they have bolstered the industry and bolstered the property values of many homeowners. And so, you know, there is an issue about whether by making some of these dramatic changes, you are going to be hurting property values and therefore hurting current homeowners, as well as diminishing the benefits available to future homeowners. The item that you mentioned is actually just one of a number of items that is going to, that are going to affect homeowners. Many of your listeners are probably familiar with the fact that under current law, almost all homeowners don't have to pay any tax when they sell their principal residence. Under this bill, they actually would phase that benefit out for upper income taxpayers. That's something that hasn't, I don't think, has been noted yet. Now, that what that means is, of course, upper income taxpayers are going to be affected by that. But that also could have a ripple effect in the housing industry generally. To the extent upper income taxpayers become less mobile because they don't want to sell their homes because they're going to have to pay tax on their sales, then that could have a certain effect in the industry generally. So there are a lot of issues that are really unclear at this point.
Professor, we just spent a week in Kansas where they instituted tax cuts several years ago. They really caused problems in the state's economy, for the state's budget, for school funding, etc. Republicans in that state ended up overriding the governor's veto and removing many of the tax cuts. And a lot of people there were saying, well, this is very similar to what is being proposed in Washington. Now that we have these details, what do you think? Should lawmakers in Washington be looking at what happened in Kansas before they pass any tax cuts?
Well, I think it certainly is useful information to study what happened in Kansas. There are some corollaries between what they did and what is being proposed in this bill. There are also some obviously big differences. That's just one state, and there are differences between how capital flows and so forth are going to be affected by a change in a given state's tax system versus the change in the federal system. So, you know, I don't pretend to suggest that we should necessarily look at their experience as definitive to what would happen in the U.S., but I certainly think it is a very instructive recent experience that we should be looking at very closely.
Do you expect that something close to what was proposed yesterday will pass in the end?
I am pretty skeptical. I understand very much the need of the proponents to try to carry out a very quick process to prevent this special interest from essentially nibbling away at the bill until they, you know, kill the bill. But what they perhaps are overlooking here is that this bill is so huge, it affects virtually all Americans and all businesses. And it just seems in that situation very important to know how it's going to actually affect those people and those businesses. I also think, frankly, it's good politics to slow down and think about those issues. If they were to pass the bill in this very expedited fashion, there will undoubtedly be a number of surprises and unintended effects that will be discovered after the bill is passed. And at that point, the American people who are affected are going to clearly know who to blame for this, because they will have on record who voted for this legislation. I think that if I were in Congress right now, I would not be supporting a very expedited process. I think I would very much encourage Congress to slow down and try to make sure they understand what's actually in this bill.
That's George Yin, who is a professor of law and taxation at the University of Virginia. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.